new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
I'm Kim Grenolds of Dogman.com with Chris Vetter, Scott Eklund. NFL draft starts Thursday with several Huskies to be picked. Jacob Eason expected to be the first Husky player off the board. First round, second round, third round, fourth round. We've seen it all over the board. We thought we would touch bases with you guys, break it all down a little bit. Mock drafts everywhere. Let's go ahead and start off with Jacob Eason. Interesting guy. You know, just we always see so much. I'm talking to my NFL guys. They say, don't believe everything you read, because a lot of the newspaper guys, a lot of the radio guys, and all the guys in the media are being fed stuff by agent, coaches, general managers, front office people. So as much information as being out there, there's also a lot of misinformation out there. And Scott, we've seen this before. You've been covering NFL for a while. You've seen it where guys are just floated and not floated and all this other stuff. But what do you think is really going on with Jacob Eason?
Well, I think he's probably a late second, early third round kind of guy. I've seen some mocks all the way up into the very beginning of the second round. I think probably mid to late second round is probably his sweet spot, possibly into the third. But really for Jacob Eason, it's going to be about finding the right opportunity for him. And I really hope he's able to find a place. There's been some predictions to Indianapolis, some to Tampa Bay. Well, that would put you behind to one definite future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, and one very likely Hall of Famer in Philip Rivers in Indianapolis. And I really like the opportunity for Jake to sit for a year or two, maybe even three, and depending on how long those guys are there, and just watch and see how to run a team and all those different things, and learn from them and their tutelage, and then be able to take over kind of like what Aaron Rodgers did for Brett Favre. So that's my hope for him, is just to find the right situation, because right now there's a lot of questions about his ability to read defenses, to do the things that he needs to do. He only got an 18 on the Wunderlich. You know, not that that's the end all be all for everything, but it shows that a lack of processing things quickly. So, we'll just have to see, but I like him late second, early third.
And Scott, you take a look at what's going on out there. And I talked about the information available on Jacob Eason. What's all the love with Jordan Love, you know, from Utah State? How is he different than Jacob Eason?
Well, I haven't done a ton of scouting on the all of the other quarterbacks, but, Love is a guy who scouts have just fallen in love with, no pun intended, you know, because of his size, his arm, his moxie, what he's able to do with the ball, you know, just all those different things. And I just think that when it comes down to it, a lot of it depends on how these guys interview and talking to the coaches. And another thing that you got to remember is this has been a very, very weird process for NFL scouts and scouting departments, and trying to figure out who they want, because they're not able to meet in person with these kids other than what they met with them at the combine. And, you know, I think the combine really helped Jordan Love quite a bit. And, Washington's just going to have to – or Washington, I'm sorry, Jacob Eason is just going to have to kind of wait his turn, and he's got all the tools. He just needs to put it together on the mental side.
Chris, you've known Jacob for a long time. Personality wise, some don't like his personality because he tends to be a little bit more laid back and he's not all that fired up kind of guy, but he just kind of seems like a cool customer out there and doesn't seem to let a lot get to him.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately it is how you look at it, right? I mean, you look at it and go, okay, is he passive? Is he just don't care? Is he apathetic? And then the other guys are going, yeah, but look at it. Nothing's going to rattle him. Nothing's going to phase it, right? So which way do you want to look at it? I guess ultimately is how you have to approach it, depending on, you know, what quarterback coach is at whatever team they're looking at. And, you know, a lot of the conventional wisdom before the draft has Eason going to a team like an Indianapolis or a Tampa Bay that Scott said. I saw Green Bay as well behind a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So those would be ideal landing places, because I think he does need to have some of that maturity and some of that thing where you grow up a little bit and really kind of understand the tricks of the trade, because there's no doubt Eason has the best arm, pure arm talent in the draft, but he has to learn the other tricks. And why not learn it under guys like Rodgers and Brady, who haven't necessarily been the most athletic, the most, elusive guys out there, but, you know, look at their stats, look at their rings, look at what they've been able to do in the league. So I would think he'd want to certainly pattern his game after those guys. And I know he did. I mean, I know Favre is another guy that he really patterned his game after a lot. But, you know, you look at those top five guys when they talked to you. You talked about Jordan Love, but you go all the way back to the presumed first pick in Joe Burrow from LSU, Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, and Justin Herbert from Oregon. Those are probably your five guys when you add Eason into the mix. And if there's a run on quarterbacks, guys, he could end up being at the back end of the first round. But I kind of agree with Scott that, you know, second, third round is probably where he's going to end up going.
Yeah, and I think that me personally, from what I know of him, being around Justin Herbert a little bit, talking to Justin Herbert, I think Jacob's going to surprise some people. I think he's going to jump up a little bit higher than some people think. I think there's some teams out there laying in the weeds, just kind of like what Seattle did with Russell Wilson. Nobody thought that they would go after Russell Wilson, and they just laid in the weeds. They didn't talk about him at all, and I think there's some teams out there that quietly really love Jacob Eason. He's got things you can't teach. He's got the height. He's got the arm strength. He's got that calm, cool, collective thing. And, you know, I don't care what the Wonderlic says, he's a bright kid. So, and also he's been put in some situations for some big time situations. And when I take a look at some of the other quarterbacks, I think Jacob's wired to handle the NFL. I'm not sure some are, but Scott, you know this as well as anybody. A lot of it comes down to the proper situation. If you're not in the proper situation, it doesn't matter. If you get in the right situation and have an opportunity, if you have a chance to compete and you have a chance and you get good coaching, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I would say that for pretty much any level in any sport that you're going to find, you know, if you're counted on to play a role that you're not ready to play, then it's going to work out bad for you and bad for the team that took you. And like I said, in any sport, you could be looking at that. If somebody's looking for a number one starter and you've got all the arm talent, but you've got the mentality of maybe a second or third or even fourth starter, it's not going to work out well for you. So I'd really like to see Jacob find the right situation, find the right coaching. If he does, I think he's got all the talent in the world to be one of the best quarterbacks out there. But, like you said, Kim, just has to find the right situation.
Second guy anticipated him off the board from the University of Washington, tight end Hunter Bryant. A lot of people are saying he's kind of a tweener. I thought it was funny when they were at the combine and they were doing the hand measurement. What did they call his finger, Scott? Do you remember what they called it?
No, I don't. What?
I thought they said it was something like his finger was mangled or a disfigured finger. So evidently had a finger that was going the wrong way. I'm sure that was catching footballs from some of the guys. But Hunter Bryant, where do you see Hunter, Chris?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I mean, he's got a chance to go higher than Eason, but also could slip all the way down to maybe fourth or fifth round, depending on how he's been evaluated, generally speaking. And, you know, he's got a unique skill set. He does things that you just can't coach in terms of his ability, catching the ball, his ball skills for that big a guy. And, you know, he's pushing almost, you know, I think he was 248 when he was there. And, you know, he ran pretty well, did all the tests, jumped pretty well. I mean, he showed off his athleticism, but he's just not the prototypical guy that seems to be the one that teams are looking for right now. They're looking for that Kelce right now. They're looking for that Kittle. They're looking for that guy who can just dominate down the field, but is a big guy that just happens to be able to run like the wind. And Hunter Bryant runs really, really well for his size, but he's not 6'5". He's 6'2", 6'2.5". I mean, but what he does so well. It's so hard to ignore. So, again, it feels like a broken record talking about all these guys, but it comes really down to fit. It comes down to what offense is going to be the offense that can really exploit what he does so well, which is get down the field, exploit mismatches with other body types, linebackers and what have you, outside linebackers, gets down seams, but he catches the ball so well. And he's a guy that just makes plays. And how valuable is that in the NFL? Pretty dang valuable. So I think he could go anywhere from early second round, but he could slip all the way down to fourth or fifth, depending on how people perceive his injuries, how people perceive his lack of height and maybe being able to get up and get after it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard to tell.
And Scott, like Chris mentioned, I think injuries are going to be a big thing, and looking at his medical records are going to be key. And I think he's one of those guys is going to be kind of that utility guy where he can go out a little bit wider. He can play in the slot. He can be an inline blocker and also line up as a fullback. So versatility and injuries, I think, are going to be the key with Hunter Bryant.
Yeah, and definitely on the plus side is his versatility, all the different things he can do, all the different ways you can use him. I see him as a little bit more athletic Chris Cooley. You guys remember him from Washington, Washington Redskins a few years ago. And guy caught a ton of passes in their offense, and I could totally see Hunter Bryant playing in that role. He was an H-back. They'll put Hunter in motion. I think he's a guy who can – give a lot of different looks and find different ways to get open. But his key is going to be, can he handle the blocking rigors of the NFL? And in college, he improved almost every year in that area. And he's a willing blocker. He's not a guy who is reticent to do that. But he's also, I would say, probably on the average side as far as being a blocker. There were other guys who were ahead of him on Washington's roster as far as being effective in that realm. But, his height is what really kills him, because teams are looking for that guy who's 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and he's only a little over 6'2". So he's going to have to find, like Jacob Eason, the right situation. But if he does find that, I think he can find some serious success. I mean, Marcel Reese is a guy who found success in the NFL. I don't know how long Marcel played in the NFL. What was it, 10 years? Whatever it was. I could totally see Hunter Bryant having that kind of a career if he finds the right situation.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Nick Harris, a lot of people say he's a little bit undersized. He's about 6'2". He's about 300 pounds, right around there. Is he big enough to play center in the NFL? You know, he kind of reminds me of when you take a look at what Seattle Seahawks did this year when Justin Britt went out and they put in Joey Hunt. And Joey Hunt's about the same size. And he got manhandled at times by the big 340, 350-pound nose tackles. So, Nick Harris is used to going up against the Vita Vea, you know. So we'll see how he does. But I know a lot of people like Nick Harris, Chris.
They should, for really good reasons. I mean, he's tough as nails. And again, you know, we talk about the physical toll that it takes on a guy like that and how he looked like he walked around like he's my age. And but the proof is in the tape, guys. And when you watch the tape, I mean, he's like he just tweeted out last night, he's playing for keeps. He's taking this thing legitimately, and I think he showed it at the scouting combine in Indianapolis in late February that he was prepared. He showed everybody what he could do, and yeah, he's not your 6'5 center, but I don't know. You know, there's a lot of guys in this world. Again, another Kelsey, the one in Philadelphia who's playing there. I know a lot of people comped him to Nick Harris and said that there's a lot of similarities there. So, and Nick said, he talked about it himself when he talked to the media out there too. So there's room for a guy like Nick Harris for sure. And I think Joey Hunt, again, another probably pretty good comp. Although I think Nick Harris might be a better technician than a guy like Hunt. I think Hunt is just really tough and scrappy guy, and Nick Harris is every bit that as well. So I think the prospects for Nick Harris going maybe even in the late second round, I think are strong. I think there's some teams out there that may have gotten enamored with him, and he's at a position where it's just not super easy to find a guy that so naturally fits that position the way that Nick Harris does. There are some guys out there. You look at it like a Cesar Ruiz from Michigan, who people are even talking about going in the first round. He's definitely an interior lineman. And those guys, they can be worth their weight in gold if they fit the right system and get the right coaching. So I think Nick Harris is certainly a guy that could surprise.
Scott, I think there's one team out there that's probably got their eye on Nick more so than anybody else, and they're just praying he's there when they want to take him. What team do you think that is?
I have no idea. I honestly haven't followed it that closely. I followed a little bit, but who?
Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. Why?
Who's their offensive line coach?
Oh, well, it's Chris Strauser. So yeah, that makes sense.
Chris recruited him, you know, former University of Washington offensive line coach. Chris saw something that a lot of people didn't see in him, and now he's in Indianapolis. And, you know, that's obviously, and we always talk about the situation, you know, the blocking scheme that Chris Strauser would be using back at Indianapolis would obviously be a fit for Nick Harris.
Yeah, the thing about Strauser is I remember him telling me when after he committed, well, not after he committed, after he signed, that he goes, yeah, this guy isn't going to move the needle for a lot of people, but he goes, he's better than a lot of the linemen we already have on the roster. So, you know, he's a guy who just came in and surprised everybody by being able to start against, was it Starlo Tulele that he started against his first start at right guard and down at Utah when Washington comes back and wins that game. He ends up starting against Alabama in the college football playoffs in the Peach Bowl. So, you know, he's a guy who's just beaten the odds with what he's been able to do. And you got to love a guy with that kind of effort. Now, the thing is, you know, we talk about, you know, that he's not, might not fit the size. You know, very few centers are much taller than 6'3", maybe 6'4". Most centers are on the squattier side. But, you know, they're able to handle those guys on the interior. And, that's the one thing, Nick, I don't want to say he struggled with it, but he doesn't – I don't know if he has that the ability to anchor against some of those bigger guys, like you guys have mentioned, Vita Vea, some of those other big nose tackles that they have in the NFL. But Nick's an effort guy. He's a smart kid. And I think that's going to allow him to be drafted. I think people are going to look at him and say, hey, we're going to take a chance on this guy. And I think he's a guy who could stay in the league for 10, maybe 15 years, maybe not be a superstar guy, but he can be a solid starter for a team for several years as he kind of makes the way for himself in the NFL, a career that nobody would have predicted coming out of high school when he only had Washington and then a few smaller schools.
Trey Adams at one time was listed after his sophomore year. He was listed as a possible top 10 draft pick. Injuries have really set him back, and we're seeing anywhere from third to sixth round Trey Adams. I think somebody's going to get a steal in Trey Adams, Chris. It's just tough to find bodies that big.
Well, there's no doubt they're going to get a steal, but there's also teams out there that are willing to take the risk on the physical aspect of what Trey did, because he's over a year removed. He played a full season healthy. It's all you can ask for a guy. And again, you know, didn't have like a world beater type season, but he did have a very productive productive season. And, and it was really worth his while to come back and make it work, because I think that was he was able to put down a lot of great film because of what he was able to do this last year. So again, left tackles premium for the right-handed quarterbacks and those guys in their systems. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Before the injury at Arizona State, he was going to be the guy. And, you know, he had absolute slam dunk, first round written all over his face. And so there is that talent, and it's still there. I think the thing that killed him, and you mentioned it with Hunter Bryant, Kim, it's the, you know, it's the recheck day at the scouting combine that didn't happen. It's the pro day at Washington that didn't happen, so he could have erased that 40 time because he had the worst 40 in the combine prep and that thing. So, you know, those are things that people have to talk about and have to think about when they're drafting a guy like him. But again, I think you've even mentioned it earlier, how many GMs look at 40 times when it comes to offensive linemen? But look at his 10, look at his 20. That can be just as indicative too. So it's weird to think that a pro day may have hurt guys that went to the combine compared to guys that didn't get invited. But I think Trey Adams is a good example of a guy that could have used the pro day at Washington to really solidify the reasons why guys would want to take him.
And Scott, you know, 4 years as a starter at left tackle in high leverage games. And he didn't seem like he was fully recovered this year, but he seemed to get stronger as the year went on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, he looked so for the first, I'd say third of the season. And then as we got later into the season, he started to pick things up a little more. Now, is that because, you know, Washington was playing better talent in the first, you know, I don't know. But he did play better. I know he played pretty well against Oregon. He played pretty well against Utah, the two best teams in the conference last season. So, the like you said, Chris, the talent is totally there. He needs to I hate to keep saying this, it's so cliche, but he needs to find the right situation. Somebody who doesn't necessarily need him to step in on day one at left tackle. Now, maybe he's able to step in at right tackle instead and be a solid guy there. I mean, Caleb McGarry came in, battled his butt off for the right tackle spot at Atlanta and won it, basically took it over in the second game of the season and never handed it back. And, you know, Trey Adams is just from a talent standpoint, he has just as much talent as Caleb McGarry does, but his injuries have definitely some of that athleticism. And I think that he needs to get some of that back, work with some trainers, work with some people about getting a little bit more flexible, a little bit lighter on his feet. And he's gonna, I could see somebody taking him like in the late fourth, early fifth, but I think fifth, sixth round is probably better for him. And the expectations won't be that high, and he can come in and he can kill it. And then get to that second contract, which is the most important contract for any football player.
Again, keep an eye on Indianapolis with Chris Strasser there. He played for Chris for a few years, and I know that Chris really liked him. So keep an eye on Indianapolis.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Another guy who, you know, in a mock draft about 2 years ago, actually listed Miles Bryant as a possible first-round draft pick. Miles doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the size, but the one thing he does have, he's just a football player. He makes plays. I think probably the biggest thing that's going to hurt Miles is he measured in under 5'8" at the combine. He's not the biggest guy, but, you know, you put him in the right situation, I think he could really, really thrive, especially in the slot. And, you know, we'll see where he goes. But, Chris, you've known Miles for a long time. He's one of my all-time favorite guys to come through this program.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. I mean, he does have all of the things. If you take the physical parts aside, the things that he can't really control in terms of his natural height and whatnot, he's got the football IQ. He just has the general smarts. He has the instincts. And I think he could be very, very intriguing as a nickel back or what have you. Now, we know that as a nickel back, the farther he gets tested down the field, the worse it can get for him, because we saw what happened like in the Fiesta Bowl, for instance, against Penn State. You know, he got taken a couple times down the field. And so that's a rough part of it. And that's certainly tape that the NFL guys are certainly going to be looking at. But, you know, taken on balance, he is so good close to the line of scrimmage. And even though he's not the biggest guy, as you said, he's so quick around it. He can play behind the linemen and really jump up and cause some problems. And again, he's just got a nose for where to be at the right place at the right time. And again, very, very, very intriguing. And, if he was a guy that was 3 inches taller, we'd be talking about him as a, you know, maybe first, second, third round guy for sure. But I think he's a guy that could have some lasting power because he has some special teams ability as well. And I think that's something that people don't think about in the mock drafts and whatnot. But I know that's for sure what front offices look for.
And Scott, he seems like one of those guys who's going to go into a camp and just be one of those steady guys that just continues to make plays.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned that he wasn't the biggest guy, and that is very true in stature, but he plays a lot bigger than his size would indicate. I think he's that guy who just constantly beats the odds in everything he ever does in his whole life. He did it with the Huskies coming in as a walk-on and a scholarship and getting on the field faster than I think any freshman in his class. And he's just, I mean, other than Taylor Rapp really, but you know, he's just one of those guys that you just, how is he doing it? But he just continues to do it. And he's a guy who I could totally see having a 10, 15 year NFL career, you know, 15 years from now, as we're writing about former Huskies, you know, going through the contracts for everybody and what everybody's doing. He's the guy that I have a feeling I'm going to go, he's still in the league? I had no idea, you know, how is he still in the league kind of thing. And he's just going to be that guy, I think, who hangs around and proves a lot of people wrong.
And another guy who could be doing that is Aaron Fuller. You know, there's guys in the league that, you know, just don't do any one thing real well except catch the football. Fuller in the right situation, I think, could be a player in the league. I always equate it to Dane Look or getting in the right situation. There was a lot of guys not playing football that had a lot more talent than Dane Look. Dane was just in the right place at the right time and just seemed to make it work. That's how Aaron Fuller could make it in the league, right time, and just being that solid guy on the roster.
Yeah, he's a guy who was asked to play out of position the past couple of years. He's a better slot receiver. You know, Washington didn't have any guys who could truly play outside until the last year, and they didn't use those guys because they weren't practicing like they needed to practice. And we can get it. That's a little, you know, discussion for another time. But Aaron was playing out of position, kind of like Dante Pettis did the year before, where he became the number one receiver when he was really more of a number two. Aaron Fuller's better bet is to be a three or a four, go in inside the slot, use his ability to get off jams and everything like that, and his quickness, and to make plays. And I think he could easily become a guy who is a 30 to 40 catch guy, catches kind of like what Bobby Engram did, maybe not the same talent level as Bobby Engram, but the same kind of guy where he's able to find the soft spot in zones, constantly catch first downs, be that guy that his quarterback looks at on third downs to help them move the chains.
Chris, Jared started at left tackle. He started at right tackle. He's got the size. He's definitely going to get a look.
Well, he'll get a look, but will it be as a late draft pick or as a priority free agent? I would think probably priority free agent. But he is a guy that certainly came on, as we know, came on for Trey Adams when Trey got hurt, did a really, really nice job of left tackle, and then moved on over to right tackle for last year and was rock solid. So, I mean, there's nothing you can say about Jared Hilvers where he didn't do a really, really good job. But, again, he's going to be just one of those guys that you look at him, you go, okay, he's doing a job, looks great. Is he standing out? Is there something special about him where you would want to use a draft pick on a guy like that? Or do you feel like we can steal him as a free agent and do something nice with him as well? And, you know, that's going to be the question with a guy like him and also with Fuller. And, you know, Fuller was one of those guys that was funny. You know, you watch him work out in Indianapolis at the scouting combine, does a pretty good job, didn't do anything really right or wrong, was just kind of another guy out there. And then you see a guy like Peter Schrager from the NFL Network's talking about him and talking him up and bigging him up and saying what a great job he did. So it's like, okay, what did I not see? What was I not paying attention to? So again, you know, he's just, it feels like he's a dime a dozen guy because he doesn't have crazy height or crazy size or crazy intangibles, but he was a rock solid receiver at Washington, had some drops and some key moments. We all know about that, but he also made some amazing plays. So those guys are guys that I think are kind of right on the fringe. We can talk about Savon Ahmed as well. And Benning Potuai, Chico McClatcher. These are all guys that we expect some NFL team's going to want to take a flyer on. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to get drafted or not.
Savon Ahmed get drafted, Scott?
No, I don't think so. I think his 40 time was too slow. I think teams are going to wait on him and bring him in as a – and, you know, we've talked about this on other things and just between the three of us that it's better – if you're past that fifth round, sometimes it's better not to be drafted. I know you want the prestige of being a draft choice, but I think in the long run, sometimes it's better to go undrafted and be able to pick your situation, and that's going to be what I hope for Savon because he's going to have to – find that right situation and where there's not too many backs in front of him, but maybe he's the complement rather than the lead guy. And if you're a draft choice, they want you to come in and be that lead guy or at least be able to take carries right away and start helping carry the load. And I just don't see Savon as that guy this year. I think his 40 time really hurt him, and I think he's going to end up being an undrafted free agent.
Benning Potuai, I always botch his name for some reason. I got the yips with his name. What about Benning?
I think Benning is probably a undrafted free agent as well. He's such a tweener. You know, he isn't quite big enough to play on the with his hand down in the NFL. I mean, he can because he's about 280, but I think it's a small 280, if that makes any kind of sense. So I think he's a guy who you know, probably will have to wait, find the right situation as an undrafted free agent. And he's going to have to show the ability to put his hand in the ground, but also possibly be a little bit of a stand-up guy too, which is what he did for a long time. But I think the way his body grows and the way his body is, I think he's going to have to be a guy who's able to take on blockers and set the edge. And at this point in time, I just think there's way too many guys ahead of him that are going to get drafted that he won't. But like I said, with Savon, it's sometimes that's a better situation.
Typically what the NFL teams do is you have the guys that are drafted and then you have your undrafted free agents that get signed. And then they're limited to how many guys that they can have signed. I think it's 100. Don't quote me on that, but there's only so many guys that they can have. And then they will invite guys for a free agent tryout. My gut says that's where Chico McClatcher is going to wind up, Chris.
Probably, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that there are guys that really got shafted when there was no Washington Pro Day. And we've talked about, you know, Jared Hilbers, Benning Potuai, Chico McClatcher, even a guy like Savon Ahmed, what Scott said, with his 40 time. He could have rerun that. I think Trey Adams might have been the one that really got affected too. Was one of the most guys that got affected because he had a chance to show guys up close and personal the things he could do. So, but Chico is certainly one of those guys that's intriguing. And again, Scott's mentioned a couple of guys where you look up 10 years from now and go, wow, how did that happen? You know, we just saw a guy like Dwayne Washington get re-signed by New Orleans. We've seen guys like
Josh Perkins.
Yep, Josh Perkins. We've seen Marvin Hall. You know, I mean, there are success stories in the NFL with Washington Huskies that maybe a lot of fans are sitting here going, he didn't have anywhere near the career we thought he was going to have when they signed him. And, you know, Chico, again, with the injuries, so unfortunate, and some of the other things, you know, that he was going through personally. So Just wish the best for all those guys, and especially a guy like Chico that we've known for so long. I remember watching Chico run before he was even at Federal Way High School and doing some things, thinking this guy has a chance to be super special. And I don't think there's any doubt that he could be special in the NFL with the right fit. But again, he's got to get healthy. He's got to get confident. And when you see a confident, healthy Chico McClatchy, he can do damage.
Draft is at 5 o'clock Pacific time, starting on Thursday, then Friday, and then Saturday. So 3 days of the NFL draft. We'll have it covered wire to wire here at dogman.com. Scott, anything else we need to catch up on?
No, not right now. You know, it's all kind of draft right now. The recruiting, I don't want to say the coaches are taking the back seat with recruiting, but for me, it's all kind of focused on the draft and covering the guys who are going to be drafted, and then we'll move on to pick up more recruiting stuff over the weekend, hopefully.
Chris, anything we need to clean up?
No, I would just add something that I think could be important when you're looking at a guy like Hunter Bryan is just the idea that how do teams look at him in terms of special teams and whether or not he can be an impact guy there. Because if he adds value as a potential special teams guy, as a cover guy, as a guy that can help in the return game, that type of blocking, things like that, that could really be valuable. And if there's a team out there that believes that they can get value at him in two phases of the game, that could be the difference between him getting drafted in the second round as opposed to maybe the third or fourth or fifth. So there are certainly some things – When you look at Bryan, when you look at Aaron Fuller, I mean, it's a shame that he wasn't able to really capitalize on becoming a better returner over time. I think he had his moments, but when, you know, compared to a guy like Dante Bettis, it's hard to stand out. But if he could have really established himself as a solid return guy, I think that would have really helped his stock as well. Miles Bryant in the return game or in the special teams game. Talked a little bit about that. I think special teams, it'll be interesting to see how some of these guys are looked at. Savon Ahmed, for instance, too. So that's just something that I'm going to look forward to when I start watching the draft and seeing where the dominoes fall.
We'll keep you wired here at dogman.com. We have a podcast with – had a chance to talk to Sam Heward. And you want to hear an impressive 17-year-old Sam Heward. Just think about the resources he has. He has his dad who played NFL. He's got his uncle who played in the NFL. He's got his grandfather, legendary coach. He's also set up with one of the best quarterback coaches in the country down in Houston. I believe his last name is Hewlett. And, you know, when he's unsure of anything, he can just call Dan Marino. Did you have those kind of resources when you were playing wide receiver? Could you call like Jerry Rice or anything like that?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay. Interesting conversation with Sam Heward. And just a reminder, if you're looking for those daily updates as well as breaking news alerts, shoot us a note, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will get you hooked up. For all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Reynolds, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.